When you think about the Bible is the perfect word of God. God has revealed himself through a written revelation. But let's think about something, and this is, I mentioned this a little bit in our Sam's group the other night, but when you think about it, first of all, you think about the Old Testament. There are two groups of people groups in the Old Testament, Jews and Gentiles. Either you're Jewish or you're a Gentile. In other words, a Gentile of the nation. Sometimes the Greek word is ethnos, which means we get ethnic groups from it, and then there's the Jewish people. When you get to the New Testament, there's the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. And you find that in 1 Corinthians. And so there are people who are Jews, there are people who are Gentiles, and then people, anybody who trusts in Christ, whether you're Jewish or Gentile, you become the church, the body of Christ. And so when you think about it that way, here's why I'm bringing that up. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people for specific ministries. Now, let me just throw one other thing out, because I didn't talk about it the other day, and I don't want to go into a lot of detail. But see, some people get confused, and when they hear about being regenerated and being born again, they say something like, well, in the Old Testament, they weren't born again, and the New Testament, they were born again. No, they're born again. Anytime the person believes, whether it's believing in the coming Messiah, whether it's Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or David, whenever a person believes, they become a new creation. Okay, they're born again. They're regenerated. In fact, the greatest passage in the Bible dealing with being born again is Jesus teaching Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's Old Testament passage, by the way. And I know it's in our New Testament book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the Old Testament is not over, or we put it this way, the New Testament doesn't begin till the death of the testator, until Jesus Christ dies on the cross. So the New Testament actually begins at the death of Christ, because that's the blood of the new what? The New Covenant, the New Testament. So people don't always understand, but in the Old Testament, the people were regenerated and everything, but the Holy Spirit came upon people for specific things. There was a guy named Bezalel, and the Holy Spirit came upon him to help design the Ark of the Covenant and all the things dealing with the tabernacle. Now, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes to be inside every believer. It's not temporary, but it's permanent. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit could come upon a person and leave them. It happened with King Saul. King Saul was the first king of Israel. Holy Spirit was upon him, and then because of his rebellion, and this had nothing to do with salvation in the Old Testament, but because of his rebellion, Holy Spirit left him and actually went to King David. In the New Testament, the moment you believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and regardless of how sinful or whatever we do, the Holy Spirit never leaves us. And we're going to look at that a little bit today, because we're going to talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So what do we think? We think God has given us his Son. He's given us eternal life. He's given us everything we need for a godly life. He says, I'll meet all your needs. He's given us the Word of God, and he's given us the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we talked about is there's so much confusion when you hear the idea of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit sounds different than the Father and the Son. We think, okay, here's the Father, like he's like God, and here's the Son, he's like God. Holy Spirit, well, he's like a power of God. Now, Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a force. He is a member of the Trinity. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we spent some time looking at that. Then we started looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And three big areas, and I'm going to go quickly through these because we talked about this last week. Three areas. First of all, what does he do before salvation? What does the Holy Spirit do at salvation? What does the Holy Spirit do after salvation? And the third one is the one that we're keying in on, because we're talking about what gift has got, what with the Holy Spirit that God's given to us, what's that for? But anyway, at before salvation, the Holy Spirit convicts people to believe in Jesus Christ. In John 16, 8 through 11, and the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, sin, because they have not believed in Christ. So that's that one. The second thing is, at salvation, the Holy Spirit regenerates the believer, taking us from death to life. That's what we just talked about. At salvation, the Holy Spirit seals the believer, makes us secure, and we're saved and saved forever. That's when we talked about it last week, that you should never doubt your salvation. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the moment you believed in him, he sealed you with the Holy Spirit, and you're safe and you're saved forever. The third thing, and this is where we stopped last time, the third thing is indwelling, and that's what we've been talking about. The Holy Spirit indwells us. Now listen, the indwelling of the Spirit is different than regeneration. Regeneration is when he makes a person who was dead in sin alive. But indwelling is when he actually comes to live inside of us. And so that's what is so amazing, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, what, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? You're not your own with a price. Glorify God in your body. That's 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes permanently to live in us. So every one of us in this room have the Holy Spirit permanently indwelling. If we get into sin, if we do raunchy things, if we say, I don't believe in God anymore, I don't believe, you still have God living inside you, God the Holy Spirit. Look at this verse right here in John 14, Jesus is speaking. He says, I will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That's the Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Spirit, whom the world can't receive because it does not see him or know him. You know him because he abides with you. That means close to you. And he will be where? Where will he be? He will be in you. And so at salvation, the Holy Spirit regenerates us, makes us alive, seals us, makes us secure, and indwells us, lives inside of us. Now I want to get to the part I think that's vital for us when we're talking about as Christians, because we've been seeing all the things that God has provided for us. Well, what does he do for us after salvation? What does he do? Now, there's a bunch, but I'm going to just pick three things to talk about because I want to use these three to encourage us. He fills us. That's the filling of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us. We'll talk about teaching the Holy Spirit. And he intercedes for us. That's the praying of the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about filling of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand indwelling and filling are not the same thing. Indwelling happens at a moment in time. In the moment you believe in Jesus, he comes to live inside you. Filling of the Holy Spirit is when you allow the Holy Spirit to empower you so that you can live for God, you can serve him, and you can do all the things that he wants you to do. That's the filling of the Spirit. Look at this, Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. It's actually a command. It's a command for us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Be filled. This is the power of the Holy Spirit to serve. Now remember, Holy Spirit's not a force. Holy Spirit's a person. You have a person inside you that can empower you to live righteously and godly in this present age. And so he says, don't get drunk with wine, because what does wine do? Wine controls you. He says, but don't get drunk with wine, but in the same way that wine controls you, be filled with the Holy Spirit who will be able to control you. Look at this right here in Galatians 5:16. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. The word walk is peripatao in the Greek, which means lifestyle. And he actually says, live by the power of the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. So he says, if you're living in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not carrying out the desires of the flesh. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us to empower us as we seek to live for Jesus Christ. And somebody could say, well, how do you get filled with it? I mean, how do you know you're filled with the Spirit? Well, two things. One, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he serves. How do we walk? How do we feel with the Spirit? Number one, deal with sin. When you know there's sin in your life, if there's any sin, if you become aware of any sin in your life, what are we supposed to do? Confess it. And confess is homologeo, which means tell on yourself. It means to speak the same thing. So confession of sin is saying, I lied, I lusted, I stole. Whatever you did wrong, you confess that. You tell on yourself, and you say the same thing God would say. This is wrong. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to do what? Forgive you and cleanse you, put you right back into fellowship so you can be filled with the Spirit. The second aspect is to obey the Bible. There are principles and truths all throughout the Bible, and he basically says, then obey, walk worthy of the calling, live according to the Scripture, live out who we are, and as we obey the Bible and deal with sin, we'll be filled with the Spirit. And so when you wake up in the morning, you might say, Lord, I just want my life to count for you. If there's anything that I could even think of that I've done wrong or I haven't confessed yet, I confess it, and I want my life to count for you. I want to live by the Scripture. And you're filled with the Spirit. That's what it's all about. So that's the first thing. The first thing is the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the one we think about the most. Because we say something like this, okay, you trusted Christ as Savior. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. He's the power that God has given you to serve him. Now remember, he's not a power that's in you. He is God himself, the Holy Spirit, to empower you as you serve, as you live. That's what it's all about. And Jesus lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you remember blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, when they claimed that Jesus Christ did his miracles in the power of Satan, Jesus called that blasphemy of the Holy Spirit because they were attributing Jesus' works, which was done in the power of the Holy Spirit, they were attributing that to the devil, and that's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Just remember, so Jesus lived his earthly life in the power of the Spirit. We live our earthly lives in the power of the Spirit. So that's pretty powerful stuff. So we could say, thank you, Lord, for the power to serve you, because he tells us, walk worthy, live out who you are, glorify God, you know, live in such a way that people see your good works so that your Father in heaven is glorified, walk worthy, all the good stuff that he tells us. You could say, well, how can I do that? Because I'm a fallen person and I'm sinful. And he says, no, I've given you the power. I've given you the Holy Spirit to live inside you, to empower you to live righteously and godly, right? So we can do it, right? In his power, not our power. Okay, the second thing that the Holy Spirit does is to teach us. He teaches us the Bible. God has given the Holy Spirit to teach us the Word of God. This is called the illumination of the Scripture. And you may have realized there are times when you study the Bible and you go, wow, I've never seen that. Oh, this is now putting together. This is now flowing, because the job of the Holy Spirit is to illuminate the Scripture to help you to understand it. Now watch this. In John 16, he says, there are many things, this is Jesus talking to the guys, and he says, there are many things I'd like to say to you, but you can't bear them right now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, what will he do? He will guide you into all truth. And he'll not speak of his own initiatives, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose it to you. He's going to help you. Now, first of all, Holy Spirit help these men write down the Word of God. That's one of the Holy Spirit's job. But it was also to illuminate the Scriptures that people could understand it. In fact, look at this. He says, he will glorify me, for he'll take of mine and he will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has in mind, therefore I said, he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. Disclose means to teach. Disclose means to guide. Disclose means to illuminate. The idea is that when you and I study the Scripture and we go, wow, this is such good stuff, and we start putting it together, suddenly we'll say, wait a minute. I remember this over here. Well, how do you remember that over there? Holy Spirit is illuminating the Scripture to help you to put it together. So when you get ready to study the Bible, should you be in fellowship? Should you have confessed any sins or everything so you can be in fellowship with God? And then when you dig the Scripture, when you read it, when you put it together, when you have your quiet time, when you study, he's going to help illuminate the truths of the Bible. And it's really a powerful thing. Look at this right here. He says, to us, God has revealed deeper things. God has revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man unless he has the spirit of a man? You can't know what another person thinks unless you're a person. But who can know the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit helps you to understand the thoughts of God. When he has revealed to us the Bible, the Holy Spirit says, this is from God. This is from God through man. And I will help you put it together. That's what he does. And every time we study, we should be going, oh, yeah, oh, wow. Wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping me see that. Let me help see that. Now, so when we think about this, the Holy Spirit not only empowers us, but the Holy Spirit teaches us. Now, what's supposed to happen? Let's think about like a Sunday morning. What's supposed to happen is I'm supposed to study the Bible, like Matthew 19, like one of the hardest passages in the Bible. And I'm not to understand, but to live out. And so I'm supposed to study that, put it together in the power of the Holy Spirit as he illuminates the Scripture to help us all put it together. And then in the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm supposed to teach you. And then as you're studying it, as you're listening on a Sunday morning, as you're looking at the passage, the Holy Spirit is illuminating the Scripture to help you grasp it and put it together. And you might say, wow, that's the first time I've ever seen that. I don't know how many times I've looked at this verse, but I never really saw that. And that's what's going to happen. And that's supposed to be happening right now, because I put this together in the power of the Holy Spirit, so to speak, putting the truths together, and then I'm supposed to be teaching them to you. And you are out there not just sitting there, but you're saying, oh, Lord, help me understand. Help me grasp these truths. Let me see. And so even today, you would say, wow, the Holy Spirit is so amazing. He convicts me before I'm saved. He regenerates me and seals me and comes to live inside of me the moment I'm saved. And then after I'm saved, he empowers me and he teaches me. Okay, there's one more. And this last one is really amazing. And that is this, the interceding of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit actually prays for us. Now we go, what? What are you saying? The Holy Spirit actually prays for us. We don't always know what's best, right? Sometimes we say, oh Lord, I really want that job. I really want that job. And the Holy Spirit basically says, no, that's not the job you need. You don't know it. You don't know what's best. You think that'll be a good job, but it won't be. Or you say, oh, Lord, I will not live if I can't have that car. Oh, I won't live if I can't have that coat. You know, and sometimes that's what we do. There's nothing wrong with some of those things. I'm just saying, we say, oh, I really want that, but you may not get it. And then you may get it. But the Holy Spirit intercedes. Look at this right here. In the same way, the Holy Spirit, also helps our weakness. Or what weakness? Because we don't know how to pray as we should. We don't know. We say, well, listen, what about this? What about this person? What about this event? What about this that's coming up? We don't know what always to pray for. We think we do, or we say, I think this would be a good thing to pray for. Or I think this would be a good thing to happen, best I can tell. And sometimes we even have scripture that tells us, you know, pray for this. But sometimes we don't always know what we should pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, I want you to understand that. The word groanings there, it doesn't mean you can hear it. It says it's too deep for words. It's as if the Holy Spirit is saying to God, oh, this is what's best. They're praying this. This is what's best. In fact, the passage goes on to say that the one who searches the Spirit, that's the Son, who's the intermediate, then goes to the Father. So this is an amazing thing. But when you pray, the Holy Spirit is an intercessor to you that goes to Jesus, who is your intercessor and your go-between, and then Jesus goes to the Father. So you've never even thought about that. But, you know, it's not just you talking. It's the Holy Spirit listening, going to Jesus, and Jesus to the Father. The Romans passage, continue to read Romans 8, 26, 27, 28, down in there, because we know what Romans 8, 28 says. What does it say? We know that all things work together for good, those that love God, those that are called according to purpose. You need to read 26 and 27 before you get to 28. And so he illuminates and he prays for us. So the Holy Spirit is the gift from God. And so think about this before we break and go to our thing. But before salvation, the Holy Spirit convicts us that we have not believed in Jesus Christ. And just remember this. When you're talking to people and we don't know if they're saved or not, and you're talking to them about salvation, you stay on the issue that they need to trust in Christ to give them what? Eternal life. That's what you want to talk to them about. We don't need to get into all the other things because the Holy Spirit is not convicting them of those other things. The Holy Spirit is convicting them that they have not believed in Christ. Second, at the exact moment of salvation, there's so many things. I just put a few things here. But the Holy Spirit regenerates us. That means we were dead, now we're alive. He seals us. He makes us secure in Christ. We're saved and saved forever. He indwells us. He comes to live inside of us, and it is a permanent indwelling. And then the third thing is after salvation, he fills us. That's the power to live. He teaches us. He illuminates the scripture, and he intercedes for us. He prays for us. Now, that's a lot of stuff, and we went fast, and that it's actually taken us 2 weeks, but there's so much there. You should be so encouraged. You should say, I can't believe all this. Not only did he convict me so I would believe, but when I believed, he's made me alive. He's made me secure. He lives inside of me. He then fills me to serve him. He teaches me the Bible, helps me understand it. And even when I don't even know what to pray for, he's praying for me. What an encouraging thing. So let me give you some applications before we break. First one is, let's be filled with the Holy Spirit. The power to live for Christ comes through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And we are to walk and to be filled, because it says be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we are to be filled with. This is a command that we call an application, but it's actually a command from the Bible to be filled with the Spirit. Well, what do we do to do that? How do we do that? Well, deal with sin. If there's any sin in our lives, confess it. And let me just say this too, that one of the Proverbs says, confess it and forsake it. See, it's one thing to say, oh, I lied. You know, Lord, I just want you to know I lied. Now, I'm probably going to lie again in a minute too. No, no. The goal is not to lie again in a minute. The goal is I lied and I'm going to try not to lie anymore. I'm confessing that I've done wrong. And so that's what dealing with sin is. And the second thing is obey the Bible. If we want to be filled with the Spirit, we live according to the principles and the truths of the Bible. Let me sum something up for you. There are people talk about all the rules and all the things. Jesus narrowed it down. And he said, if you want to live for the glory of God, you love God and you love others. Every other law, every other command fits under these two things. It's called the law of love. And when Jesus got ready to leave, he said, a new commandment I give you that you what? What's the new commandment? That you love one another as I have loved you. See, the old commandment was love your neighbor as yourself. But he said, no, I'm going beyond that. You now love others as I have loved you. And that's everything else fits under there. If you love your neighbor and you love God, then all of that fits. You'll obey the scripture. The second application is, as we study God's word, let us allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate the word of God. So one of the things you need to do, which many people don't do, is they don't study the Bible. Without raising your hand, think about this. Do you have a time, maybe weekly, that you actually study the Bible for yourself? It may be, maybe you're studying Matthew. You're studying along with what we're doing. Maybe you study ahead. Maybe you've already looked at Matthew 19 to see what it said. Or maybe you study it after we go through it. But anyway, are you studying that? Or maybe you're studying something else. Maybe you're studying the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're studying the book of Philemon or something. But as you study, and I hope every one of us in this room are having us a time in which we actually dig the Bible, allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate it. Get with him. Confess sin. Sit down and say, Lord, show me. Teach me things. Let me see things maybe I've never seen. Let me be able to put the Bible together better than I've ever seen it before. And that's what you do. The third thing, as we pray, may we know that the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. He says, look, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, what? Let your request be made known. So you can let any request be made known. Sometimes we make requests that we may not realize it, but it wouldn't be the best thing. You know, we think something might be the best thing. One time, I prayed that I would get to marry this girl. And I said, I really want to marry this girl. And the answer was no. And I was mad at first. And then I met Gene. And now I realize why he didn't let me marry that girl, because he had something much better. See? Am I doing okay, Gene? Am I doing good? Okay. I think I got out of that one okay. But that's true, right? And you pray for things and you say, oh, Lord, if it's possible, I want this. And it may be something that's not best for you. And the Holy Spirit says, you don't know what's best. I'm going to make the intercession, and the Son will hear, Son will go to the Father.
There's a song that says, thank God for unanswered prayers.
The answer is no. Yeah, the answer is no, that's not what for you. And so sometimes when we pray, just say, Lord, thank you that the Holy Spirit is there. When I'm praying, when I'm offering my request, when I'm letting him be made known, because you'd say, let them all be made known. Let them all be made known. He just knows what's best. And we're thankful that we have the intercessor who goes to the Son, who goes to the Father. So some great things. We don't always know what to pray.